Hi, and welcome to another show, guys. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have you join us. Trading Royalty joins us on the show today. Dawn Bolton-Smith is the matriarch of technical analysis and was an inspiration to Talking Trading's very own Louise Bedford. Employed as Australia's first ever technical analyst, she has predicted every major high and low of the Australian stock market. And we talked to her today about her journey in the markets and hear some of the incredible stories she has to share, as well as her advice to young traders. And Louise Bedford tells us to get real about fear in an extended mind power. We also have trading trivia, but first up, here's the news for the week ending 18th of July. And giving us the market wrap for this week is strategist and market commentator Aaron Lynch. Hi Aaron, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
How did the US markets close last week?
Well, the US markets went into a little bit of a snooze in terms of a bit of a sideways pattern, but particularly in the last three sessions towards the end of the trading week, the volatility really kicked up. So we had two large trading sessions, one to the downside, one to the upside, and we actually saw a bit of a flick up in the volatility index or the VIX, so suggesting that there might have been a bit of concern coming into the market, but that pretty much settled down straight away back into, you know, the lows that we've been seeing. So US market hasn't plowed ahead like we have been seeing, but I don't think there's any major concerns in terms of it falling out of bed, but certainly an increase in volatility.
And so how did that flow on to the Aussie markets?
Well, look, the Aussie market continued to stay sideways, but we know the Australian market is taking leads from many other, markets outside the US. So obviously our exposure to China continues to be a major, impact to our market. But interestingly, our market declined earlier in the week, but towards the end of the week, it actually started to make some higher bottoms. So as I see the market now, I'm watching it live, it's actually starting to retest some of its highs within this sideways band. So for me, that'll be the real key over the coming days and weeks to see whether we do break out or whether we continue in this overall sideways pattern.
And what was the reason for the slight bounce up in the market?
Metals and commodity pricing, have had a slide, but they certainly bounced towards the end of the week with things like the metals, not only precious but industrial, and also energy prices like crude and natural gas. So considering our market is heavily geared to the mining and metal space, obviously that had a part to play in terms of our market having a bounce towards those, tops that are in the market.
So that makes me ask my next question. What were some hot and what were some cold sectors?
Well, look, yeah, in terms of hot and cold sectors, it's a bit hard in Australia. And, to make a fine point on it, sector analysis in Australia is a challenging one because we tend to do two things, you know, on any scale in Australia, being banks and finance and obviously diggers and miners and resource finders. So the two sectors that were on the move last week were probably the materials and the mining and metal sectors. They are on the heading to the upside. But to balance all of that off, the other major things like energy, finance, and healthcare were all pretty sideways. So some of those gains that were made in the bullish sectors were pretty much not represented in the others. So that's why we continue to see ourselves in that sideways pattern.
So in terms of technical analysis, are there any patterns jumping out from the charts?
Absolutely. Sideways. Sideways and painful is probably the
sluggish, painful, pain in the butt.
Yeah. All of those. Look, depending on what sort of trader you are, whether you're a trend trader or whether you're someone that's looking to generate returns from a sideways market, look, there's opportunity depending on the style of trading that you're looking to implement. But for me in the Australian market, I've been quite challenged in terms of trading domestically over the last few months, mainly because of that sideways pattern. My style of trading is more geared around trend trading. So for me overseas, particularly the US, has been better opportunities. But if the broad pattern that I'm seeing at the moment is that sideways pattern, sort of bordered by around sort of 5,500 to the upside and, around about that sort of 5,350 level on the downside. Until we get a definitive break out of those and confirmation, I think it will continue to be a bit challenging, but overall the pattern's sideways.
What opportunities are you looking at this week?
Look, most of the opportunities that I'm looking for in you know, throughout the rest of 2014 tend to be geared around the energy sector and also broadly based commodities. So I think we've seen some recent sell-offs in some of, as I mentioned, the precious metals and industrial metals. I think they might continue to have some upside in the near term. And certainly in my style of trading in the areas I focus on, very much the energy market. So, for example, one particular stock in the US, Halliburton, is one that I'm watching, ExxonMobil. And that sort of leads back to, as well, domestically, to things like Woodside Petroleum and those. But, you know, certainly crude oil being my number one market that I focus on, that's where the opportunities lie for me. And, you know, over the last week or two, we've actually seen a strong decline in crude. We've had quite a big fall as the Middle East premiums come out of that market. We're back under, or got back down to about $99. But as far as a technical pattern there, we've got a little bit of a double bottom and we've had a bounce. So it'll be interesting to see whether that continues.
Just very quickly, any advice for traders this week?
Well, the advice for traders this week would be very, very simple. Follow the plans that you have in place. The markets, I think, will get a little bit harder to trade throughout the rest of 2014, particularly when you look at the strong trends we've had in places like the US. I think a lot of the easy money, so to speak, has been made. So having a plan to deal with, you know, volatile and challenging environments, being prepared to be short as well as long, I think will be a focus over the coming weeks, if not months. And I guess, yeah, not trying to react to what's basically in front of you, you know, having a bit of a structure, having a plan, and just waiting for the opportunities to come up. Having had some experience now over a decade in the markets, I know chasing markets is never easy. So I think we're going to see, as I said, some challenging times ahead. So rather than being a chaser, it's better to have a plan and wait for those opportunities to come to you.
Aaron Lynch, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Sick of being the smartest person in the room? Tell your friends about the Talking Trading podcast and let them come to the party too. TalkingTrading.com.au. Last week's trivia question was, where is the smallest stock exchange in the world? And the answer is Cameroon. Although it has a population of over 20 million people, Cameroon Stock Exchange only has two listings. And this week's trivia question is, who was the first female stockbroker in the United States? Find out the answer next episode. Dawn Bolton-Smith is trading royalty. She is the pioneer of technical analysis in Australia. Originally trained as an accountant, she has been trading the markets for over 50 years, and her skills have won her fame within the trading world. She was the very first chartist for the Bulletin magazine, and she wrote a regular column in the Sunday Telegraph. Her favourite article appeared in the Melbourne Age with a full-page photograph of her holding a crystal ball, which pretty much sums it all up. As fate would have it, I rang Dawn to arrange our interview and found out that we literally live around the corner from each other. Over tea and a piece of cake, we discussed the markets and she shared stories of her incredible career. Talking to the beautiful Dawn. Dawn, what was it like before the age of computers charting?
Just as interesting as it is now.
How was it different?
I think it was about the same. You've still got your extreme of optimism and pessimism in the markets, and it's what happens in between the highs and the lows that makes the interesting charts and separates the winners from the losers.
Have your methods changed over the years trading?
Well, basically, I mean, use much the same technical tools as I did when I started out, and I still find that the basic charts are the best and the simplest to analyse. In recent years, they've devised all these wonderful technical trading systems, MACDs, RSIs, stochastics. They're okay, but they're lagging. The price is your leading indicator. I think there's a whole generation addicted now to indicators, think they can do everything with indicators. And sometimes just a simple line chart will tell you the story.
You're very much into moving averages. Tell us why.
I learnt moving averages, especially the 5, 15 and 30.
Which Dawn uses with different coloured pencils.
Oh, yes, it has to be the right colour, green for go and red and blue. If you use those colours consistently, you know where you are in the market. They tell you a story. In fact, the 30 moving average is the most one of the most powerful tools that we can use for trending markets.
Now, Dawn is trading royalty in Australia. In such a male-dominated industry, how did you find being a woman?
Well, they had to accept me because I was right most of the time.
Did you receive any flack?
Oh, yes, at times.
What did you do?
Ignored it.
How have the markets impacted your life?
Learning about the stock market changed the whole course of my life. And I started doing that in 1961 and went along to the Mossman Evening College.
Which is just around the corner from where we're sitting right now.
And really that was the turning point, and we were the actual pioneers of the charting in Australia.
And you still look at the charts every single day, twice a day, don't you?
Oh, more than twice a day, the whole day.
Three pieces of advice for our traders.
Well, I'd say basically I've always said to people, if you're going to trade or invest in the market, you buy a bull market and learn to read charts. That's the most successful way that I know.
Is it a passion or an addiction, being in the markets?
Both.
What characteristics do people need to succeed in the markets? What do they need to develop in themselves?
Oh, I think you've just got to learn to understand what the markets are all about. You know, read the right books. Don't be too influenced by the fundamentals, because they're mostly hindsight anyhow. The best part about really being able to chart well is to be able to see what's going to happen before it does. Mm. Most of what you read in the financial press is hindsight. It's what happened yesterday. We as traders wanted to know what's going to happen today.
And you have predicted all the major highs and lows in the Australian market, haven't you?
Yes, I have. The greatest one, of course, was the 74 crash, which is still the biggest crash in our stock market history. It was quite devastating, and we've had other crashes too since 1987. That was a big one. And the more recent one, the 09 one, another big one. They all say it was a global financial crisis, but my charts, and especially when I was writing for the Trading Edge, foretold that we had a top in the market, and I gave a sell signal at the beginning of 08.
Did anyone listen to you?
I hope so.
Dawn then summed up her view of the markets by quoting her friend, Harry D. Schultz.
To the millions of soulmate investors and traders who are magnetically attracted to the stock market, thinking it's not so tough, even if not downright easy, and then stay on, even after they learn it's the toughest business in the world, because then they're hooked by its excitement, opportunity, enigma, and above all, its fabulous challenge to brain, body, and emotion.
I then asked Dawn about the worst loss she's experienced, which she did alongside Harry D. Schultz.
We both had a similar experience with the gold market in Hong Kong. We were both long the futures, and they had a sell-off on Saturday morning in Hong Kong itself on the gold, and we both lost heavily on it. It took me three weeks to get over it.
Has that been your worst loss?
Yes, that was my worst loss. There's a lot to be gained from experience, because you know what it feels like to be a real loser at the time.
How did you get over it?
I did. Time took care of it, yes. You've got to get your equilibrium back after a crash.
But then Dawn told me about a good win she'd had in the markets with gold.
The top in 1980, I had a futures position then. The day it went to $850, I decided to sell at $840 because I wanted to get the early ferry. Had I have stayed another 10, 15 minutes, I would have got the top, but I was doing
only Dawn.
Doing it with a chart. But the interesting part was it closed $220 down the next day, and it took 30 years for that price to be exceeded again.
So tell us about the instruments you trade. What are your favourites?
Oh, I think the SPY. That's the futures market of the XJO. That's our leading indicator. And the gold, yes, gold. But mostly, yeah, those two probably. And always with a stop loss.
She also told me more highlights of her career in predicting the nickel booms.
My chart foretold the start of the nickel boom in 1985, I think it was, with Western Mining. I used to monitor a chap, Clapton Howden's portfolio. He had 500,000 and it was in a big triangle, and I used to think, oh, this is a bit of a waste of time. And then all of a sudden I saw 10 times the normal volume come in, and that was the start of nickel boom, and I think it was about $4 then, and it went to $88. That was in about 1968. In the 69, we had the most famous run of the lot for the Poseidon nickel boom. Poseidon went to $288, and it finally went off the board at 30 cents.
You predicted it?
Well, I trended it, yes. No, I've still got one of the original charts in one of my drawers.
And finally, as the trailblazer who brought charting to Australia, she then told me how she felt about the charts.
There comes a time when you'll know what to do. You won't know why you know, but you'll do it. It's just the insight that just looking at a beautiful chart. Mm. In fact, one English stockbroker laughed with me once, and he said that I described a chart as if it was a beautiful work of art. And I said, well, it is to me.
Dawn still writes for the Trading Edge magazine and continues to trade the markets every day.
Most traders act like a little kid in the markets. They don't know that a great trading plan is their secret weapon.
Isn't it time you grew the f*** up? Register on tradinggame.com.au and grab our free trading plan template. It's a sign of being a mature trader.
Now Mind Power with Louise Bedford.
Let's get real about fear. We are forever blaming fear. Fear is our scapegoat for non-performance. I get it. Really, I do. I've felt scared to move forward. I've felt frozen solid but wild on the inside and frustrated that I'm not going to get my own way or move towards my greatest person that I can be. But really, true fear, real fear, it's not all that common. We really don't call on our massive fight or flight system the way that we used to do when we were in the caves. When was the last time that you were in fear to the point of bodily harm? I'm guessing there are no wild animals hiding in your cupboard. Mostly, when you find out what fear actually is, you get to disarm it. So let's have a look at fear and work out what you can do to move forward. Some of this is based on Brendan Burchard's book called The Charge. It's an exceptional book. There are three types of fear. There's the pain of loss. What will happen if I lose my money, my relationship, my job, my sanity? Friends feed into this when you become a full-time trader. People warned me that I'd lose my marriage because maybe I'd be out-earning my husband. They warned me that I might lose my house, that I'd have trouble when the kids went to school because they wouldn't see their mother working. It's just all of these contradictory influences that they used to warn me about. Fear is what you get in your heart when you ask a what-if question and you answer in the negative. And if you've got enough people around you answering that what-if question for you and it looks black, sometimes you begin to believe them. If you're a victim of this, you need to pump up the positives. Focus on the gains that you'll get when you ask that what-if question. Like if you're trying to lose weight and you're trying to stop eating junk food, it's tempting to think, oh, I'm going to miss out on an opportunity to socialise with my girlfriends because they always go on a chalk fest every Thursday. Or I'm going to miss out on the yummy treats that I really enjoy after dinner. You need to flip that thinking around. You need to start looking at the gains you'll get when you start to lose weight. If you're a smoker, you might be thinking, oh, I'm worried I'm going to miss out on a break outside, or I'm worried that some of my smoker friends aren't going to want to socialise with me anymore. All of these big nebulous fears. When it's more painful to stay where you are than to feel like you're risking everything and move towards your goals, then you've got an answer. Until you get to that point, you won't move on, I guarantee it. It has to be painful to stay where you are. Otherwise, you just won't progress. The other type of fear is process pain. Now, the way I'd like to describe this is if you're trying something new, it is hard, and sometimes the actual system of doing that new thing can put you into a bit of a twist. Like if you're looking to lose weight, sometimes it's hard to imagine buying gym gear, getting a gym membership, walking through the front door of the gym. If you're a smoker and you're looking to give up, how do you find nicotine patches? How do you know when to change them? How do you get out of the habit of walking past that nicotine central, that smoking central in every supermarket? Some of these things are process pain. As a trader, we might wonder, what broker should we use? How do we learn about the markets? What is the actual process for getting into and out of a trade? All of this is process pain. But I can tell you, if you don't embrace a challenge, sometimes you're going to be an empty shell of a person. I know you might not understand the process, but understand parts of it and just move as far as your fear will allow you to. The other type of fear is fear of the outcome. Now, this could be that you're worried that if you do all of this work in the markets, that you might actually not get the results that you feel you deserve. Fear of failure and fear of success, these are also very common fears that stop people in their tracks. Let me ask you, what if you did all of the work to become an exceptional trader and your life doesn't improve? That strikes right to the heart of the fear that so many of my traders feel before they join up with the mentor program. What if you quit your job and you have to go back? All of these things, if that is striking fear into your heart right now, you have fear of the outcome. If you get stuck in the what ifs and you're only seeing black, you're never going to take the steps forward that you need to take. What about all of the things of this outcome, if it does come true, that will make you feel happy and satisfied and fulfilled? Are you forgetting all of those things? If you're going to lose weight, you'll live longer, you'll feel better, you'll enjoy shopping and exercise again. If you're looking to stop smoking, you'll get nice smelling clothes, you can kiss people without embarrassment. You could lose that cough that you've had for the last year. And as a trader, you might very well uncover the steps towards your own freedom. It could be that you could say no to your boss for the first time ever when there's a chance for you to go and see your son play soccer. It could be that you decide to work part-time. When you ask, what do I really want in my life and why am I not progressing faster? These are big questions, and this is the sign of an evolved self. I know that you're on the brink of conquering your fears if you're asking those types of questions and moving forward to become your best self. Take back the power in your life. Whether you're concerned about the pain of loss, the fear of the outcomes, or even the process, you really need to diagnose this. Detooth it, depower it, and you will move on to greatness.
That's all we have for you today, guys. I'd like to thank our contributors, Grand Dame Dawn Bolton-Smith and Lady Louise Bedford. Stay tuned next week for internationally renowned author and associate professor, Dr. Tim Pitchell, all the way from Ottawa, Canada, as he speaks on his burning passion, the topic of procrastination. On behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. I'm Caroline Stephen. See you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.